And all of God's people said, Amen. I will bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. It is good again to be in the house of the Lord, and we're grateful again for our youth this morning for leading us in worship and song. And we're grateful for our youth. We realize, oh God, that we realize, church, that they are not the church of tomorrow. They are a church of today. They have a very valuable testimony, and we're grateful to every single one of them. And I thank God for the gift that they give to the kingdom. Amen. It is Palm Sunday. It is the day that we set aside to recognize the triumphant entry of the Lord Jesus Christ into Jerusalem on his way to the cross. A few days later, he will be hung on a cross of Calvary. And so I welcome all of you today as we share in this Palm Sunday. Let's pray together, and we will jump right into the Word. Most gracious and eternal Father, we love and thank you so much. We're grateful because we realize that it was, in fact, you who woke us up this morning, clothed us in our right mind, and we're grateful because we are your children and you are our God. We're grateful that we can come boldly to your throne, and in times such as these, we need an anchor to hold on to. We need a God to glorify. And we're grateful that we can call on your name on this another Lord's Day. Now, God, we're grateful for all our children who participated in worship this morning. And we ask your covering upon their life. Continue to bless them as they grow and mature in both word and deed and in their own scholastic life. Now, Lord, it is preaching time, and we pray that you would stand in my body, think with my mind, speak with my voice. Touch, O God, these lips of clay that I may be able again to edify your people according to the power that works in me. We pray, Lord, that you would speak to the stillness of our hearts, that we might know we've heard from on high, and when it's all said and done, we'll be careful to give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor in Jesus' name. Together, every child of God said amen. Amen. Those of you who've been following along know that we have been in a series entitled What Makes a Great Church, and today, simply because it is Palm Sunday, we are going to divert our attention away from what makes a great church, and we'll pick it back up in a couple of weeks. I have one, maybe possibly two sermons in that series, and I want to talk later on in a couple of weeks about what makes a great church. A great church is a giving church, and we'll talk about that in great detail today because it is Palm Sunday. And next week, it is Resurrection Sunday. I want, if we could, just to pull our attention to the cross. Listen, it is in Matthew 21, verses 1 through 11. It reads as follows, "And now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, 'Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied with a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. If anyone says to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them, and he will send them at once.' This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, 'Say to the daughters of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, a foal of a beast of burdens.' The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. and the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest." And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd says, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." I want to put a tag on this text, talk about for a timely tidbit how to be used by God, how to be used by God. Listen, beloved, here's what I've discovered, and that is this: God can use anybody, anywhere, at any time, in any place to accomplish anything. He takes those who are useless and makes them useful. He takes the weak and makes them warriors. He takes the feeble and make them faithful. He takes the meager and make them mighty. He takes the unlearned and make them unmovable. He takes the base and makes them brave. He takes the despised and make them disciples. The truth is, he doesn't call the qualified, he qualifies the call. And over and over and over again, we will see in the Holy Writ of how God took imperfect people to accomplish his perfect will. This scene of our text is a familiar one. It marks the beginning of Psalm a week as Jesus makes his triumphal entry into Jerusalem. However, while I am certainly have no desire to take the spotlight off Jesus, there is one character in the story that is often unnoticed and even overlooked. For a few minutes, I want to focus on the donkey who gave Jesus a ride into town. The donkey was used of God in a glorious way. The donkey provides the secret, beloved, of what is more needed in our day than anything else. And listen, beloved, we have more today than any other time in recorded history. The Christian community has more programs, more plans, bigger budgets, bigger buildings, cash, and causes than ever before. Yet, although we have more than we ever had, the truth is we're doing less than we've ever done. What's the problem? Well, the truth is, listen, we have Starbucks for Sunday school, but where's the Savior for the sinful soul? We have cash on hand, but where is the Christ of the heart? We have resources galore while the Redeemer stands at the door. And the truth of the matter is, there was a time when the church did not have PowerPoints, multimedia, sound systems, vans, building programs, and million-dollar budgets, and believe it or not, no social media. Yet even without all of those things, the early church, hear me, beloved, turned the world upside down with the gospel and for the glory of Jesus Christ. What is the difference? And I believe, beloved, that this donkey can teach us what the difference is. Listen, hear me, beloved. The donkey teaches us, first of all, to be redeemed for the master's purpose. Write that down if you're listening to me, if you're at home. The donkey teaches us to be redeemed for the master's purpose. One of the most glorious aspects of God's sovereignty is that he uses pagan, heathen, infidels, and unbelievers to bring about the fulfillment of his word. However, for the most part, in order for someone to be used of God, they must be redeemed. They must be saved by the grace of God. Watch the text. For the donkey was sought by Jesus. Verse 2, Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied with a colt with her." Now, I'm well aware that this young cult does not possess the reasoning skills that you and I possess. Yet it makes this truth even more thrilling, because here was a donkey that could have no idea that he was being sought by Jesus. And yet Jesus was seeking him, although he had no knowledge of being sought. The animal did not go looking for Jesus, beloved, but the truth of the matter is, Jesus was looking for the animal. The animal did not send for Jesus. Rather, Jesus sent for the animal. He was sought without having any knowledge of being sought. And I want you to put a pin there, because, oh, bless the thought, beloved. There was a day when the Lord Jesus came looking for us. You ain't got to shout right here, but I'll do it for you. Hallelujah to the Lamb. There was a day when the Lord Jesus came looking for us. In fact, the truth is, we didn't go looking for him. He came looking for us. We did not find him because he wasn't lost. He found us because we were lost. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, line 2 says, in times past, we walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power, air, the spirit that is now works in the children of disobedience. In other words, beloved, in our depraved, sinful nature, we were not looking. We were not only looking, not looking for God. We were going in the opposite direction of God. We weren't walking by the word. We was walking according to the world. And if I could just tell you the truth about Kenny Ray, I wish somebody would help me. The truth is, before I got saved, I had no thought for God. Listen, I had no time for God, and I had no trust in God. And don't look at me funny. Before you knew the Lord, before you got saved, you had no thought for God either, and you had no time for God, and you had no trust in God. Before I got saved, the things of God had no interest for me, no importance for me, and it had no influence on me. But bless be the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There was a day that I wasn't looking for him, but hallelujah, he came looking for me. He found me as I was, where I was, and what I was, not because I found him, but because he found me. Is that anybody's testimony today? The truth of the matter is, we weren't looking for him, but he was looking for us. Thank God for the day that he came by our way, because when we swung the door wide open of our hearts, we let him in. And because we let him in, somebody can testify that life has never been the same. Life has been different. And the truth of the matter is, we let him in. Now our destiny is clear. Listen, to be redeemed for the master's purpose, this donkey was sought by Jesus. But not only was he sought by Jesus, hear me and hear me good, he was brought to Jesus. Watch the text again in verse 2. Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. Hear this. Not only was the animal sought by Jesus, but in order for it to be redeemed, hear me, it had to be brought to Jesus. You see, the animal was considered unclean under the law. It did not chew the cud or have a cloven hoof. Therefore, it was doubly cursed inside and out. It was declared unclean. However, the law also made the provision for the condemned beast. It could be redeemed if a lamb died in its stead. Once the proper sacrificial lamb died in its place, the life of this doubly cursed unclean animal would be saved. Hear me. Listen, beloved, here's what we know, and that is this, that every man, every woman, every boy, every girl is born into this world unclean from the inside out. The Bible declares that in sin I was shaped in iniquity, and in sin did my mother and father conceive me. But thanks be to God, the Lamb of God took our place, and now the lives of the cursed, vile, wretched, depraved sinner can be saved. That's your shouting point right there, because if you saved, you know that it was the Lamb that took your place. For the most part, this animal would have lived his days under the yoke of bondage. The Lamb had set it free, but still had no liberty. While other animals roamed the hillside, it remained tied to a post and only dreamed of being set free. Yet when it was brought to Jesus, hear me, beloved, it experienced freedom it had never known before. Yes, it would have still served the purpose of the master, but true freedom only comes when, listen, the purpose of the master is being served. Can I just help somebody real quick? Because most of us have been given life, and because the Lamb died in our place, but we still, for whatever reason, don't live in liberty. We still are slaves to habits and handicaps and hang-ups. We learn how to pray, "Lord, forgive me," but never pray, "Lord, loose me and deliver me." It was when Jesus said, "Loose him and bring him to me," that this redeemed animal was finally set free. And you may be listening today, and you have given your life to the Lord, but you're still loose. You may have never been loose. You may have been listening today, but you're still bound by something. Listen, beloved, only Jesus can loose us and set us free. Let me say that again. Only Jesus can loose us and set us free. Listen, when God saves a man, he never saves him in his sin, but from his sin. He not only sought him out, this donkey out, but he brought him out. He is set free from the curse of the law. The old man can never be free because he is a slave to his sin. However, the new man can only be free when he is loosed and become a slave, hear me, to the Savior Almighty. I was thinking, beloved, of a man who was walking and fell into a pit, and suddenly a priest walked by. The man shouted, "Father, I'm in the pit. Can you help me?" The priest took out a piece of paper, wrote a prayer and a scripture on the paper, and threw it in the pit. Then the doctor walked by. The man shouted, "Doc, I'm in this pit all alone. Can you help me?" The doctor took out a piece of paper and wrote a prescription and threw it in the pit. Finally, a close friend walked by. The man shouted, "Hey, Joe, listen, I'm in this pit all alone. Can you help me?" And suddenly, his friend jumped down in the pit. The man said, "Are you crazy? You can't help me, because now we're both in the pit." His friend said, "Relax, man." He said, "Because I've been down here before, I know the way out." Can I help somebody real quick? Thanks be to God, beloved. When we were sinking deep in sin, the Lord Jesus came and got into the pit with us. Hear me, beloved. And not only does he know the way out, listen, but he made the way out because he is the way out. And the songwriter said it like this: "I was sinking deep in sin, far from the peaceful shore, very deeply stained within, sinking to rise no more." But everybody shout, "But." Just go ahead, if you don't mind, type it in the comment section. But the master of the sea heard my despairing cry, and from the waters lifted me. Now safe am I. Am I talking to anybody who knows that the Lord lifted you. The Lord lifted you out of the muck and the mire and the clay. The Lord lifted you out of the sin and the shame. The Lord lifted you out, my beloved, of the disgust. The Lord lifted us. Now safe are we. Listen, if you're not saved today, you are being sought by Jesus. Listen, so that you can be brought to Jesus. But if you are saved, aren't you glad that for that day, listen, even when you weren't looking for him, he came looking for you. When he sought you by himself, he brought you to himself and redeemed you for the master's purpose. Listen, beloved, that's what we learn first of all from this donkey, from this colt. We learn that we need to be redeemed for the master's purpose. Secondly, beloved, we need to learn from this donkey to be ruled by the master's presence. It's in the text. I don't want you to think I'm making this up, because listen, in this familiar scene, the Lord Jesus used the most unlikely tool to perform the most uncommon task. This donkey was sought by Jesus and brought to Jesus. And once it became redeemed for the master's purpose, it was able to be ruled by the master's presence. Notice this colt was specifically desired. Watch the text again, verse 2. Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. Jesus gave specific instructions for his two disciples. They were to go to a specific location, and once they got there, they had a specific vocation. They were to find a donkey tied and a colt with her. The donkey or the mule or the colt were common sight in the Palestinian world. Horses were not often used as a means of leisure transportation. To ride a horse was often an emblem of war. To ride a mule, however, was an emblem of peace. The kings and princes commonly rode on them in times of peace as a mark of rank and dignity. Many believe, beloved, that this particular breed of donkey and colt was not the breed of swift colts used by kings, but rather a beast of burden. It is true, beloved, it somewhat stands to reason that the burden bearer would aptly ride a beast of burden. I have no doubt whatsoever that the one who created the mule species had his eye set on a particular breed of his creation. Perhaps there were hundreds of other colts to choose from, but Jesus was zeroed in on one and one alone, and his disciples would recognize that one when they saw it. Isn't it amazing, beloved, to think that of everything and everyone that God is involved with in everyday life, he takes time to know our name, numbers our hairs, notices our needs, and hears our prayers. He takes time to lift our burden. He knows where we are. He knows what we need, and he knows how to get what we need to us. Am I right about it? There is no lottery system in heaven. He doesn't spin a roulette wheel to see which one of his children he's going to care for that day. No, every one of his children is important to him. As a matter of fact, I need to tell you right up front, you are important to the Lord. You are important to God. You are somebody in the kingdom of God. Are you listening to me? And so while he is specifically mindful of us, there is also something specific he has in mind for us. Do I need to tell you, beloved, that every child of God has a gift or a talent, that every child of God has an ability that God has specifically placed in our life to be used for his for our good and for his glory. Listen, this donkey had a specific need for Jesus. It was specific that he was to walk, that he was to ride this donkey into Jerusalem for his triumphal entry. And beloved, the truth of the matter is God has a specific desire for your life as well. Whatever God has called you to do, beloved, you ought to do it with everything you got. You ought to put every energy and effort behind what God has desired and called you to do in your life. If you sing, sing your song. If you usher, usher at the door. If you a nurse, on the usher's aid. I wish somebody would help me do it to the best of your ability, because God has specifically given you a gift, a talent, and something to do in the kingdom of God, just like this donkey. And listen, I'm not calling anybody a donkey, but compared to the donkey, I wish somebody would help me. You ought to know that God has given you ability to use in the kingdom of God. Hear me, beloved, when we see that this mule was specifically desired, we also see, hear this, that it also was submissively devoted. Watch the text. We often overlook the fact, watch this, that there were actually two animals mentioned in this account. Verse 2, you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them, watch this, and bring them to me. Again, in all likelihood, this was a mother and her young colt. The colt provided the transportation while the mother perhaps provided a walk beside. The young colt and her mother are brought to Jesus. Verse 6 and 7 says, the disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and Jesus sat on them. Mark and Luke includes a piece of information that tells us that this particular colt had never been ridden before. In other words, beloved, hear me. No man had ever tried or to attempt to mount this animal, who had an innate instinct to be rebellious. It was an unbroken colt. It was full of pride, self-will, and rebellion. And hear me, beloved, yet not one time do we read that this unrestrained, untrained, unlearned, never been ridden colt ever bucked, ever snorted, ever fought, ever resisted when the Lord got on his back and rode it into town. Perhaps, beloved, that was due in part to the presence of the mother, but I submit to you that it was mainly because of the presence of the master. The rider of the mule was the King of Kings, who, according to Psalms 8, verses 6 and 7, has dominion over the works of his hand. Thou who has put everything under his feet, all sheep and all oxen, and yes, the beast of the field. And as soon as the Creator mounted the creature, it became submissive to his will. And as soon as the master enthroned himself on this colt, he became the Lord of his life. All rebellion fled. All self-will vanished. The colt was transformed from a wild, untamed creature to an obedient, submissive instrument in the master's will. Listen, beloved, can I ask you this? Do you want to be used by God? And if that is the case, then listen, allow him to be the Lord of all. Submit to him and surrender to him. Allow him to climb on board and be in the driver's seat of your life. I'm reminded in 1862 at the Battle of Fort Donelson that the Brigadier General Ulysses S. Grant of the U.S. Army received a request for the terms from the Fort Commanding Officer, Confederate Brigadier General Simon Buckner. Grant's reply was, no terms except the unconditional and immediate surrender can be accepted. When the news of Grant's victory hit Washington, D.C., the newspapers marked that Ulysses S. Grant's first two initials, U.S., stood for unconditional surrender. For the army, for in the army of the Lord, hear me and hear me good, if we are to be used by God, nothing less than unconditional surrender is accepted. Can I ask you this, beloved? What is it that you've got to submit to the Lord's will? Is it your relationship that you are in? Do you need to submit that to the Lord? Is it your marriage that you need to submit to the Lord? Is it your money that needs to be submit to the Lord in order for God to use you? Is it your attitude that needs to be submitted to the Lord? Maybe it's your associations that need to be submitted to the Lord. Maybe it's your body that needs to be submitted to the Lord. But whatever it is, like this donkey, we must be redeemed for the master's purpose, and we must be ruled by the master's presence. There has to be, if we want to be fully used by God, there has to be an unconditional surrender. And the truth is this, beloved, when we become saved, we ought to recognize that there are things that we like to hold on to. There are stuff in our life that we want to feel that we can't do without. But can I tell you this, beloved, that whatever it is that we are unwilling to surrender, it just might be hindering you from being everything that God has called you to be. Yeah, I said it, I'll say it again. Can I just suggest to you that let it go and find out just how high the Lord wants to take you. Let it go and find out how the Lord really wants to use you. I double dog dare you to take your hands off of it and allow God to do something in your life that he's been trying to do all along. I dare you to put the drink down. I dare you to put the ooh-wee down. I dare you, beloved, to cut off that illicit relationship and see what the Lord will do in your life. I know I'm right about it. I know I got some witnesses out here. You had held on to some stuff in your life, but if you come under the conviction of Almighty God and God told you to loose that thing and let it go, now you're flying higher than you ever flew, that you're doing more than you ever did, and you're saying what thus said the Lord, because you loose that thing and let it go. Listen, beloved, we got to be ruled by the master's presence, that if we are in God's presence, we got to be submissively devoted, and we got to be specifically desired. Watch this. Here's the last one. I'll give you the bones. You put the meat on it when you get home. The third thing is that if we're going to be used by God, and if we're going to learn from this donkey, we need to recognize, beloved, that the donkey says to us, we got to be redeemed for the master's purpose, but also we have to be ruled by the master's presence. But thirdly, we got to be responsive to the master's plan. Do I need to tell you it's not our plan, but it's his plan? Do I need to tell you it's not our way, but his way? Do I need to tell you, beloved, that we have to submit ourselves to his plan? A person may have all kind of Bible apps, beloved, on the iPhone and the iPad, and yet still not be any use to the great I am. Are you listening to me? In order to be useful for God, we must be redeemed for the master's purpose, ruled by the master's presence, and responsive to the master's plan. Here is a lowly donkey that had God had God riding on him into Jerusalem. Notice, beloved, what he was used to accomplish. One of the most important aspects of this entire scene is that it was a fulfillment of the prophecy given by the prophet Zechariah over 500 years earlier. Matthew quotes the prophecy found in Zechariah 9:9 in verse 4 and 5, where he says, "All this was done that it might be fulfilled which was spoken by the prophet, saying, say to the daughters of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey. I like the way Warren Wiersbe put it and said of this text, that this text can only be speaking of Jesus because he's the only one that has the credentials to call himself God. Are you listening to me? Here's this lonely donkey, a burden-bearing beast who is used to fulfill the will of God as well as the word of God. Listen, beloved, when you get used by God, you begin to fulfill God's will for your life. You begin to discover the very reasons for your existence. Do I need to tell you doors start opening and favor starts pouring out? Do I need to tell you that what you couldn't do before all of a sudden starts to get accomplished because you are doing the will of Almighty God? What could not be done in your own energy and effort and enthusiasm once you got the Spirit of God in you? I wish somebody would help me. Listen, there was no stone that you left unturned. Listen, when God starts using us, our lives match up with the blueprint of heaven, and what gets accomplished is just like the plan. And I don't need to just pause real quickly and tell you, because you already know, God has a plan for you. He has a plan for your life. And although, just like this donkey, hear me, beloved, that he wants to use you to ride into Jerusalem. Unlike this donkey, there are other things that God wants to use you to do. He wants you to fulfill your purpose. He wants you to accomplish all that he has placed you here on planet Earth. And can I talk to my young adults and my youth today? Can I tell you, young adult and youth, that you are here more on planet Earth more than just playing genital gymnastics? Come on, somebody help me, and shooting the ball. You're placed here or more on planet Earth than just trying to get on social media and seeing how many folk likes you get. Do I need to tell you that you don't need to be a TikTok star when you have already been donned a star by Almighty God? Do I need to tell you it ain't about Instagram? It's about the God that can come in an instant. It ain't about Facebook. I wish somebody would help me. And Snapchat is just, listen, have a little talk with Jesus and he'll make everything all right. Do I need to let you know that God has produced in you and packaged you with potential? He's defined you with destiny, and there is more in you that God wants to pull out of you. Can I say that again? There is more in you than that God wants to pull out of you, and it ain't all about social media. I don't care how many folk like me on social media, as long as I know that God loves me. Oh, go ahead. Type that in the comment section right on social media. It don't matter who likes me, because God loves me. Don't matter how many likes you get. Don't matter how many hearts you get. As long as you got King Jesus, everything is going to be all right. Are you listening to me? What do we see with this donkey? We see, beloved, that this donkey was responsive to the master's plan, because we see what he was used to accomplish. But watch this. I'm done. We also see who he was used to acclaim. Watch this. Since it was the Passover, there was probably 2 million folk in and around Jerusalem. This was the only time in Jesus' public ministry that he actually planned and promoted a public demonstration. Up to this time, he had cautioned people not to tell people who he was, and he had deliberately avoided the public scene. Listen, the Passover crowd was composed of at least three groups: the Jews who lived in Jerusalem, the crowd from around Galilee, and the people who saw Jesus raise Lazarus from the dead. Sharing the news of this miracle undoubtedly helped to draw such a large crowd. The people wanted to see this miracle worker for themselves. And verse 8 says, most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the ground, and the others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The red carpet had been rolled out for the Lord Jesus Christ. The crowd was anticipating his arrival, and suddenly off in the distance, they catch a glimpse of the one prophesied to be their Messiah. But it wasn't a stretched limousine. It wasn't a pimped out Hummer, come on somebody, that rolled Jesus into town. Rather, he was being transported on the back of a little old plow mule. And as he entered the city of Jerusalem, the celebration began. Watch what the verse 9 and 11 says. And the crowd went before him and followed him. And the text says that they were shouting, Hosanna, listen to the Son of David. Blessed is he who come in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. And when, listen, he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, who is this? And the crowd says, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. The word Hosanna, those of you who are Bible scholars already know that it simply means save now, not tomorrow, not the next day, but save right now. Are you listening to me? And many in the Passover crowd recognized that this was their promised Messiah who had come to save them and who had come to redeem them. And as a result, the fever pitched reached a resounding crescendo as the shouts of praise filled the air because the Messiah had finally arrived. Every means available to him, he chose to fulfill scripture by being transported by a lowly mule. Listen, beloved, do you think that that donkey thought at all of this celebration was for him? Do you think that he thought, boy, these folks sure are glad to see me? Do you think that this donkey thought, beloved, that I never dreamed this many people would come out to celebrate my arrival? Of course not, because he was transporting God, and because he did, he accomplished the will of God and acclaimed the Son of God. Think about it, beloved. With every truck, he lifted Jesus a little higher. With every step, beloved, he magnified the name of the Lord. With every push forward, he uplifted the one who would die on Calvary. Every time he put his hoof down, it shouted, praise be to Almighty God. Are you listening to me? The truth of the matter is, beloved, when we think about being used by God, it is no longer about us. Listen, beloved, our soul simply desires to lift up Jesus. Am I right about it? We have no desire really to be seen. We have no desire really to be heard. We have no desire to even be noticed. We want to decrease that he might increase. Are you listening to me? And when we are used by God, people will begin to not see us, but they will see Jesus. And listen, beloved, I want them on Sunday morning not to see K. Ray. I want them to see Jesus. I want to, whatever we do for the kingdom of God, whether we are singing in the choir, whether we are praising on the praise team, whether we are ushering at the door, the people don't need to see us. They need to see Jesus. And that's what the donkey allowed to happen on that day. That every time he pushed forward, the people got a good glimpse of Jesus. Every time that he put his foot down and moved
moved a step closer, they saw Jesus clearly. And that's what I want, beloved, to be about. I want folk to see Jesus. I don't want them to see Kenny Ray. I want them to see Jesus, because Jesus is the only one that needs to be honored. He's the only one that needs to be exalted. He's the only one that deserves our praise. Am I right about it? And the truth of the matter is, he's the only one that can do what no other small God can do. He's the only God that can make ways out of no way. Am I right about it? He could have chosen anything to glorify him and to magnify him. He could have chosen people, but he chose people like you and I. He could have chose the alligator, beloved, to grunt it out. He could have chose, if you would, the bat to screech it out. He could have chose the bear to growl it out. He could have chose the bird to chirp it out. He could have chose the camel to grunt it out. He could have chose, the chicken to cluck it out. He could have chose the rooster to crow it out. He could have chose the cow to moo it out. He could have chose the hamster to squeak it out. He could have chose the hyena to laugh it out. He could have chose the jackal to howl it out. He could have chose the owl to hoot it out. He could have chose the parrot to squawk it out. He could have chose the pig to oink it out. He could have chose the rabbit to squeak it out. He could have chose the sheep to baa it out. He could have chosen the tiger to growl it out and the walrus to groan it out or the zebra to whine it out. But I'm grateful that he chose people like you and me, who are born in sin and shaped in iniquity. He chose you and I to shout it to the world, to tell the world that Jesus lives, that he came triumphantly into Jerusalem. And just a few days later, they would hang him on an old rugged cross. They would hang him high. He would lower his head, and then he died, but he did not stay dead. Somebody ought to shout hallelujah. On the third day, he got up with all power in his hand. And that's why the songwriter says, go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. You ought to tell it at your school. You ought to tell it on your job. You ought to tell it in your community. You ought to tell it down the street. You ought to tell it at the local Piggly Wiggly. You ought to tell it at the supermarket. You ought to tell it at the teller to the bank. You ought to tell it everywhere that Jesus loves us and looks beyond our fault. We ought to tell this world that there is a God who loves us, and a God who will look beyond our faults and will see our need. And if you know that today, you ought to shout yeah. If you know that today, you ought to say hallelujah. If you know that today, you ought to say glory. I want to be used by God.